The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Thursday morning, it's the 2nd of July 2020 and we're here till 10 o'clock. Very good to have your company this morning. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie and you have been busy emailing last night and yesterday, which is tremendous because it means we have lots to talk about, which is great. I see the official Twitter account have sent one brief and pithy text out or tweet out to say, good news and bad news, 2020 is half over. Yeah, we'll take that as we head into July and beyond. That's nice. Now, elsewhere in the news today, lots of different things. For example, they're telling us that the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition will be going virtual in 2021. It's one of those wonderful events. I love to visit it, to see the ideas, the innovation, the excitement amongst the next generation as they plot around cauldrons of science to bring us new inventions and thoughts. But it will be happening online, which is a pity in many ways. But look, it's just for now and it'll all be better again eventually. But it means that for the first time in the 56 years since it's happening, it will not be staged physically. It'll be transformed into a spectacular virtual showcase for January 2021. The measure is an indication of how the COVID-19 pandemic is likely to affect staging of public events extending into next year. And it'll go ahead January 6th to 9th is normally the time it happens. But it will happen on digital platforms. It won't be the same. Simple as that. Because part of the excitement of the Young Scientist is meeting other people, gathering around a big venue to come up with share ideas about science and the future and going to discuss. And then, of course, thinking about all these great ideas to do with physics and chemistry and, dare I say it, biology. 51551 being the text number this morning. We wish you well in your endeavours for the Young Scientists and everything else. I think people are probably tiring a little of the Zooming thing, to be honest with you. And I think certainly that idea of meeting up with friends on Zoom is getting a little tired. And now that we have sight of reality, it's much nicer to get out. Let's face it, you can't beat meeting somebody in the flesh. And that's starting to happen now as we wake like a sleeping giant from our slumber. There's good news in the IrishExaminer.com because the Journalist of the Year at the National Student Media Awards was announced. And it happens to be awarded to Mustafa Darwish, who is studying for a Master's in Journalism in the University of Limerick. But the key, I suppose, in many ways to this young man's story is that he's living in direct provision. And for him to emerge from the difficulties that are entailed around the direct provision story, a story that I think still hasn't been told properly in this country, despite lots of efforts, but we'll get to that probably too late. He's an Egyptian immigrant living in direct provision, and he won this award. So congratulations to him. It's the top prize for his focus on issues relating to asylum seekers living in the direct provision system, Syrian refugees, cultural production and the economic crisis in Egypt. So congratulations to Mustafa Darwish, as I say, an immigrant from Egypt living in direct provision. He was given the award by Irish Examiner editor Tom Fitzpatrick. So a good result, important one too. Tom Hanks. You remember Tom Hanks and his wife? Remember they were two of the first famous people to announce they had contracted COVID-19. And he was talking about his new movie and in the course of which he was doing interviews and he talked about face coverings. He said there's really only three things we can do in order to get to tomorrow. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands. And those things, he said, are so simple and so easy. If anybody cannot find it in themselves to practice those three very basic things, I just think shame on you. And that's what he was saying recently. The couple was recovered from their COVID-19 experience and returned home to the States, anxious to donate their plasma in the hopes of helping others. He's like, I've got to get back home to donate my plasma. But as Tom Hanks only could, and Jennifer Aniston's jumping on the same a bus in many ways, urging her fans to wear a mask to halt the spread of the virus, saying the issue has been politicised at the expense of people's lives. And watching the American news networks, it's really sad. America gives us so much pleasure, so much pain as well, down, you know, in the history, let's not lose sight of it, but we won't get into a dissection of the American contribution to global politics and entertainment and culture, but there's just something really, really awful about the place at the moment, and here's hoping for better days ahead. You know your machine that you might have, Alexa, and the other, Siri, all these kind of things. There are trigger words that can set off the recording devices within it. So you've got to be careful. And German scientists, who obviously had a lot of time on their hands, decided to try and compile a list of 1,000 words that are most likely to trigger Alexa and Siri. So what they did was, for their experiment, they decided to leave these virtual things, the Siris and the Alexas, in a room with a television that played hours of TV shows, Game of Thrones, Modern Family, House of Cards, with English and German and Chinese audios going on, to see when. So when activated, a little LED light display on each device turns on, and this team of researchers cross-referenced the dialogue being spoken every time they observed the light goes on. So they have 1,000 words. If you want to look up the 1,000 words, I'll read them out to you now. Hang on. I'll read out four of them. Four words that will trigger are: one, tobacco. Tobacco. Two, Montana. So don't talk cowboys around Alexa. You'll be recorded. The other word is election. And the following, and then city or city. These are the words. And once activated, these little things that you have in your corner of your room, wherever they might be, they create sound recordings that are later transmitted to platform holders. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? Where they can be transcribed for quality assurance purposes or other analysis. And this has alarming implications for user privacy and likely means short recordings of personal conversations could periodically end up in the hands of Amazon, Apple, Google or Microsoft workers. Good luck with that. I don't have one of those things and I'm not sure I want one, but I believe they're great and people swear by them, so that's fair enough. So whatever's happening. John Bolton's book, you've been hearing a lot about it. Palomine was reading it, says it's really boring. I can understand that, because really what we want were the big headlines, and we got that by watching an interview that he might have done on any channel, so that's good. And he his book is a big, big seller, 780,000 copies in its first week. The important thing about that book is the implications of it as much as the content. It's a big, large book, and I have it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get into it or not. I've got lots of other things to read. And then the other book about Trump, which was written by his niece. He tried to stop that being published, but news out today that a New York appeals court has cleared the way for distribution of this tell-all book by his niece, Trump's niece, despite the objections of the president's brother. And again, that's Simon & Schuster. That's going to happen. The book's called Too Much and Never Enough: How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. Now, there's a family row on a Sunday lunch, if ever you heard of it. But that will be, no doubt, of huge interest to people. Did I hear Shade saying Simon & Schuster is Carly Simon's dad? And that's why she was always quite moneyed, despite her musical talent. I don't know if it's true or is it an urban. No, it's true. Okay, didn't matter. Scientists put four common types of face coverings to the test to decide which is the best one you can wear if you're going out to the shops or on public transport. And they reckon, a quick one, the quilting cotton mask is the best one, blocked the most droplets, just so that you know. 2001, A Space Odyssey, one of the greatest films ever made, according to film buffs, is in the news because the space suit believed to be worn by Dr. David Bowman is going up for grabs at Julian's auction house. And it is so rare, it's expected to fetch a hefty sum because most of the film's props and costumes were destroyed after production. So if you want that spacesuit, you can have it for around $200,000. That's the guiding price on that. A Twitter thread, meanwhile, created by Rachel O'Connor, documented her very excitable trip to the hairdressers yesterday. Why wouldn't it? It's an exciting time. She posted photos of her highlights being tended to and tagged what she thought was Peter Mark Hair Salon. Many others joined in sharing her hair, or their hair, and stories and photographs. And so that was her tweet saying, "I'm so excited, this is great," and sent the picture. But unfortunately, she sent it to the wrong Peter Marks. It wasn't that Peter Marks. It was a man in America who tweeted, Please take me out of this thread. I am the theatre critic for the Washington Post, not a beauty salon in Dublin. That is Peter Mark, not Peter Marks. Which brings us to Eason. But let's literally not go there, because we've got a show to do. I got some great emails in that I'd like to bring to your attention, but I just see Elton John has announced a weekly series of classic concerts from his archive, or as we like to call it, YouTube. But he's going to obviously curate them. I don't know what the difference is. But he's 73 and he's going to air the performances on his official YouTube channel. Okay, so you can go there and watch those if you wish, beginning with a concert from Edinburgh in 1976. I'm still trying to get my head around his performance of I'm Still Standing from the One World Together. Remember, he was he was at the piano. If you didn't see it, he was at the piano. He had this mad-looking basketball stand beside him, with two basketballs kind of beside on the ground. He was wearing what looked like a tracksuit from about 1983. And he kind of nearly changed the whole dynamic of the song to a whole new song called I'm Dill Danding. And if you listen to I'm Dill Danding, you'll hear... I'm going to play a clip of it because I can't unhear this. And I need to share. I'm Dill Danding.
I'm Dill Danding. Threats you made were meant to cut me down. If I love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. You know, I'm still dead, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little cat. I'm still standing after all that.
All right. Maybe shoot a few hoops there, Elton, I think. That's I'm Dill Danding by Elton John, and just getting a little flavour of that. But went to see him in the tent in Cork, and he was superb, in fairness to him. I remember watching his hands playing the piano, and it was just remarkable. Stop saying Alexa, my machine is going mad. It always does, Mark. Every time I say Alexa, the machine tends to go a little bit crazy. So I'll stop saying it. My Alexa is now waiting for a command from you as I'm playing the radio on it. Well, that's kind of meta, isn't it? I started Bolton's book, but abandoned it after 100 pages, says Will in Dublin. It is so incredibly dull and turgid. I was hanging in there waiting for some juicy Trump gossip, but honestly, watching paint dry would have been more entertaining, which is why I think, thank you, that you just totally put me off it now, but we got what we needed from it, and the political system got what it needed from it, and I think that's fine. Claire says, I can't think of anything more ghastly than being linked up to Alexa. As you say, each to their own, of course, but definitely not for me, ever. Yeah, not for you, not for me. It's 16 minutes past nine. Text 51551. We are open for business. Diana Ross and the Supremes, You Can't Hurry Love. It's a delightful little tune at 19 minutes past nine this Thursday morning. Let me give you a little story that came in on email to ryan@rte.ie, because I mentioned Revolut, which is the payment system that is very easy. And I was showing off to my colleagues and friends saying, this is great, I know how to work it. And they said, yeah, you've told us that pretty much every day for the last 2 hours. I said, okay, sorry. Your mention, says an email, of Revolut has prompted me to write this email. You occasionally read out emails from listeners who've had a random act of kindness foisted on them, and at the time, I didn't get a name or a chance to thank the other person. So this is not one of those emails. Oh. Last Saturday, while doing my weekly shop at my local Lidl, there was a lady and her teenage daughter at the checkout ahead of me. When she inserted her card to pay for her messages, great word, the card wouldn't work. So she frantically searched her handbag for another card. Nothing. She told the cashier she would have to leave the items behind, and it was quite a trolley full of stuff. So Muggins here donned his cape and asked the lady and her daughter if they were on Revolut. And if they were, they could use my debit card and Revolut the money to me over the phone. That's how simple it is, if you know what I'm talking about. So she said she was, and she told me how kind I was for rescuing the situation. So I pulled out my phone number to her, and she turned to the cashier, asking her to call out the total amount due, €114.06. She mouthed out the amount again while she was entering it into her phone. 114.06. She said, "That's done. And thank you again for being so kind." I paid for my own shopping, had a brief chat with the cashier about how handy Revolut was for transferring money over the phone. And suddenly I realised that my phone hadn't pinged when she said, "That's done." Turns out it was the ultimate act of kindness. I had just paid for her weekly shop. I went back to Lidl yesterday, spoke with the manager. He viewed the CCTV and told me they'd be difficult to identify because they were wearing masks. Ha ha ha. And lesson too late for the learning. I didn't get any sympathy from my wife, who told me I was an idiot. Please don't read out my name. I think my wife summed it up best in any case. Yours sincerely, Anon. A lesson there for one and for all. Maybe that situation came good a little later than you expected. Who knows? But thank you for your time and for your email to ryan@rte.ie. It's 9:21. John Bolton on with Sarah after this show. How about that? I'd say that'll be intriguing, in fairness. Congratulations to Emer Hurley on completing her PhD on health policy and management, and bumped into her in passing because I went to Toner's Pub to have a look and see how does it all work. And I had a good chat with Paul Corcoran there, who's running the place like Winston Churchill was running the D-Day landings with General Eisenhower. Very organised, everything in pods. Food menus on the table, a local business, a Cirillo's restaurant decided doing pizzas, feeding them in. So everyone winning. Timing is all good. Bar service, excellent. Guinness, remarkable. All the servers had, lounge staff had, you know, the phone thing with them so that you could tap when you're, so there's no cash if you didn't want to. Very organised, very well arranged. And I thought, if they all work this way, we're going to be okay. And it was lovely to see human beings, really. I was fed up with the Zooming thing, and it was just great to be out. And it was not chaotic, and it was not, I thought it might be a bit scary. I was quite nervous going out, going, what is this? You know, I got the train in, wore the mask. Nearly everyone on the train was wearing masks around me. I thought that this is really good. I've noticed the take up on masks on public transport, because I look in the buses passing by, whatever, and it seemed to be up. And I think it's great. So I feel very positive today about where we could be going and how things are working, which is great. We won't talk about the planes today, but we'll just give that a little rest. But we'll on the other side of things, certainly the pubs, the restaurants, fair play to you all, to your staff, the train drivers, bus drivers, good on you. And you seem to be just playing a blinder. So there's a positive out there, friends, and this is good as we march onwards into July and beyond. Okay, regarding the Peter Marks phenomenon of adding an S to business names, it's rife in Ireland, says Anne. Most people say Tesco's for Tesco, and especially here in Cork, it's Aldi's for Aldi. Not a problem, just another quirk of Irish people spoken English. I find it quite quaint, really, says Anne. And another says, my dad uses Alexa for music. If he has it playing when I'm getting ready to leave for work and when he's not in the room, I ask Alexa to play the top 100 Christmas songs. And mum and dad are convinced that Alexa is gone mad. So you're kind of trolling your folks there, aren't you? You're kind of, or gaslighting them, actually, in the true sense. I think the thing's gone mad. It's playing Cliff Richard. Christmas time, mistletoe. I don't understand. I was hoping to hear the news. I don't get it. Let me go to this email, which is a thank you from a guest we had on recently. Jerry Mullins was on talking about his book Testosterone Dublin 8. And he writes by way of a thank you to say, my book was launched just before the lockdown and just as the bookshops closed. So my butcher, Ennis Butchers in Rialto, said he'd sell the book on his counter. It did modest business for the first couple of months, but after I was on your show, it sold out again and again. And I have to keep dropping off stock because he runs out quickly. The weekend after I was on your show, he told me he'd got calls from customers and suppliers saying they heard him mentioned on your show. The butcher is Derek Bulger, even though the shop is called Ennis Butchers. And the shop is at the roundabout in Rialto, just across from the Bird Flanagan pub, a well-known landmark on the South Circular Road. He is a popular local butcher, sells good quality Irish meats. People travel from a wide area to shop there. He also stocks goods by local suppliers such as Rialto Honey, that's collected by a neighbour from their garden beehives. I love this. And Ennis Butcher, like many retailers around the country, kept going throughout the lockdown with screens and hand cleaners and social distancing, etc. And Derek's daughter is the well-known actress Sarah Bulger, who starred in America by Jim Sheridan and was also in The Tudors, Spiderwick Chronicles, which I think brought her on to The Late Late Show. All roads lead back. So that's great. Thanks, Jerry, for that. I loved that email. And Jerry's book is available still, obviously. It's called Testosterone Dublin 8. Great read and great fella. And loved that story about the butchers and his butchers. And, you know, that's what I loved about bringing in the local honey and keeping it. It's all about keeping each other afloat. You know, we saw that in Moy Cullen with our friends there and their shops, bringing in the artisans and the people, whether it's honey or jam or hampers, tea, coffee, everything. Just keep the story going. Keep it all alive. Now, 51551 is the text number. Another guest for you coming up after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Text 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie. This email struck a chord with me from Maeve McCarthy. Thank you, Maeve, for sending it in. She said, I write to lend support to your appeal for people to stay in Ireland until the pandemic is well and truly over. On the 26th of February, I said goodbye to my 27-year-old daughter and only child at Dublin Airport as she headed off full of excitement and enthusiasm to work in Austin, Texas for a year. Oh, this is going. We hugged each other tightly and then she broke away and walked towards security. And suddenly, she turned around and ran back for a second hug and said, this is me, off on my big adventure. And I promised myself not to cry in front of her, but to send her off with a smile, even though my heart was broken. I was simply in bits, but I reassured myself that I would be seeing her in May when I'd planned to visit. I sobbed all day. The following evening, the main headline on the 6-1 News was the story of the first outbreak of COVID-19 in Ireland. My stomach began to churn, and the rest of the story, as they say, is history. Cases began to escalate slowly here in Ireland, but things quickly spiralled out of control in Texas. Within 2 days of starting a new job in a strange country, living alone for the first time, knowing only one work colleague, my daughter was asked to work from home. She was alone, totally isolated, and I was absolutely distraught. Everything in me wanted to book a flight and go and bring her home. Deep down, I knew that I was being selfish and that I was putting others at risk if I were to catch the virus while travelling. It was also too risky for Fiona to consider taking 2 flights to return home. Alongside that upset, my 96-year-old uncle is in a nursing home here in Dublin. I'm his only niece. We're extremely close and haven't been able to visit him since February. He's still confined to his room due to further COVID outbreaks last week. It's very distressing. I simply can't visit 2 of the closest people in my life due to COVID-19. I'm deeply upset, but there's a bigger picture here. This virus has not gone away. As individuals, we must all play our part. There is simply nothing more on this earth that I would love right now than a hug from my precious only child and darling uncle. But love sometimes means making tough decisions in order to protect those who mean the world to us. So, Ryan, keep flying the flag for people to stay on terra firma and holiday at home this summer. Bear Bua, Maeve McCarthy. It's people like Maeve McCarthy and her daughter who are keeping the virus at bay. Thank you, Maeve, for what you're doing and for sharing your story with us. I wish you happiness and I wish I was there to see the moment you and your daughter and your uncle get to say hello again when the sun shines brightly on your lives, because it will do. So stay strong.
Reach out and touch me.
Excellent choice, if I may say so. Taking full credit for that. That's Personal Jesus by Mr. Jonathan Cash. Dominic.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good heavens, you're the Revolut guy.
That's me.
Okay, just to recap, if people just join, you're there in the supermarket, there's a damsel in distress, 114.06 worth of shopping. You say, great, do you have a phone? Yeah, you can Revolut me the money. She goes, great, I'll send it to you. You get nothing in your account. You go home, your wife says, you fool. And that was the end of that.
Yep.
Until when?
Well, more or less, yes.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I just sent you a mail yesterday because of the Revolut mention, and about 2 hours or 3 hours after the show, I got a call from the lady in question who had said she'd been trying to contact me, and there was a sort of breakdown in communication along the line. And anyway, all's well that ends well. My faith in humanity has been restored, and
she paid it all back.
Absolutely, I know there was. She was genuinely sort of embarrassed about the whole situation, and it's brilliant. I hope she wasn't listening this morning when the story was read out, because that mail was sent before
before that, but that's okay. She the bottom line is, though, she got you the... Did she get the money to you later? Is that what happened?
No. It's just yesterday. After she thought she had the wrong number, and
I see.
She actually sent her a text and thanking her, okay, and she said she was going. Her next resort was to do what I said in the first part of my email, which was to contact a radio program like yours and try and track me down. So it was a very genuine. I think my character judgment was right.
God.
Yeah,
that's a great result, Dominic. Thanks for joining us with that story. Appreciate it. And the good news there is that it all ended and they all lived happily ever after. I just heard your story, says Sarah, about the guy in the supermarket. And like that, my card didn't work when I went to pay. I stood at the checkout with two kids and a guide dog. I owed €130. The lady behind the checkout offered to pay. I was utterly grateful for her kindness. Thank you so much, says Sarah in Kerry, or Sarah Kerry, or Sarah in Kerry, I'm not sure. But either way, Sarah, thank you for telling us that. Andrew Hegarty, originally from Devon, says, I live over here in Ireland now, listening to Mary, I could not agree more with her comments. There is a great mixture of bad government, ignorance and complacency over here in England. Sorry, Andrew living, yes, in Devon from here originally. Does not bode well for the future, he says. Another says, I live in West Cork, popular holiday spot, as we well know. Can you please remind everyone to pack their masks, their face coverings, when coming down on holiday? Lots of people enjoying our beautiful part of the world, which we are happy to share. But can people remember we're also at risk of COVID-19, which is fair enough. I mean, supermarkets, masks on, public transport, masks on, you know, the drill at this stage. And as Joe would tell you, wash your hands because otherwise they won't be clean. We can't be having that. Seven minutes to ten. What, you want to hear I'm dill-danding again?
I'm dill-danding!
No, an email to ryan@rte.ie about the creches and schools and the kind of readjustment into the real world from Jennifer in Glasnevin. She said something not very important in the great scheme of things, but this week, my two children, aged 2 and 4, returned to creche. And this was something I very much looked forward to, as both my husband and myself are working from home full time since the pandemic. And as you can imagine, working from home full time with two children is an oxymoron. I was unprepared for the reaction of my youngest, who was distraught every morning at the sight of her jacket being taken out. I expected some readjustment, but not the level of upset we've had every morning. So it's been a roller coaster of a week in my house. Politics, protests and pandemic aside, we've had to get used to being able to do Zoom calls without someone gate crashing it, enjoying eating lunch without little hands trying to swipe most of it, and even being able to enjoy listening to this and other radio shows without being asked to sing Let It Go or watch Mary Poppins for the 1,000th time. Needless to say, we're missing all of that terribly. Thanks to our wonderful creche carers from Cocoon, Santry for all their work this week, and to all providers around the country who have helped parents return to work properly, I think. From Jennifer in Glasnevin. Doesn't that sum it all up? You miss the chaos in some weird way. This is what happened. We turned into a nation of Patty Hearsts. We fell in love with our captor and suddenly realised that actually there were some really nice benefits to the whole thing. But broadly speaking, I liked what you did there. Very good. Let me take a quick one from a Dublin listener who says, I've been listening with interest to your show the past few mornings just after release from hospital with now post-COVID problems that will go on for the foreseeable future. I'm emailing from my bed. Despite following all the rules, working from home a week earlier than we had to, and only shopping carefully and quickly, I still got COVID in mid-April. It was bad initially, but I wasn't in hospital. I thought I was slowly recovering, and then wham, I was hit again so badly I had to be hospitalised. Life changed overnight. My immune system is completely shot, and I now have to have treatment for a condition as a result of COVID for 3 years. No words can describe it. The trauma has been immense, both for me and for my family. Not enough is being done, put out there about people like me. And don't get me started on mask wearing or travel. My tolerance level is very low now. Do people want to end up like me? So thank you for the two speakers on the show yesterday morning, Siobhan and Kieran. I want everyone to know the care, support and encouragement I got in the hospital from everyone. It was wonderful. We really don't appreciate our frontline staff enough for the incredible work they do. It's just another, again, I say the word salutary lesson. And thank you indeed for that and all the other texts and emails that we got in this morning. All greatly appreciated. I mean, bits listening to Elton John. Yeah, no, it's one of those things. You should Google Reeves and Mortimer doing club singing. It sounds like Elton has moved into the club circuit. Yeah, he brought a little sunshine to our lives today. So thanks for that. Hey, listen, mind yourselves, everybody. Stay tuned for Sarah McInerney. We'll talk to you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Thanks for listening and have a great old day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.